From the studios of WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, this is Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Our topic today, downtown development in Wilmington. What's the best way to grow while staying true to the Port City's historic legacy? And what are the challenges to growth downtown we still face? With historic preservation tax credits hanging in the balance, even the outcome of the film incentive holding some sway over the economic future of downtown, local leaders could soon have to find new ways to independently develop the vision of a thriving, historic, culturally diverse waterfront urban area. On today's Coastline, we'll explore what that vision for the city's downtown area really is, what leaders are doing to make the vision a reality, and the peculiar challenges they face. Joining us now in the studio is the president and CEO of Wilmington Downtown, Inc., a nonprofit that is partially funded by the City of Wilmington and New Hanover County. WDI's mission, to promote the economic growth and development of downtown Wilmington. Ed Wolverton, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you so much. Great to be here. I was really liking that intro music.
Isn't it fun?
Absolutely.
Yes, downtown. Yes.
Absolutely.
During the next hour, you're invited to join our discussion. Do you shop, eat, live in the downtown area? Are you a fan of the historic district? Do you avoid downtown? What would a vibrant downtown Wilmington look like through your eyes? Give us a call, 910-343-1138, or send an email to coastline@whqr.org. You can also tweet us at @CoastlineHQR. Ed Wolverton with Wilmington Downtown, Inc. Let's start first by defining the downtown area. What are we talking about?
Well, in our view, we tend to use the river, of course, as our eastern boundary. The Isabel Holmes Bridge and the Memorial Bridge is our two north-south points. And then we get to, I guess I should say the river was actually our west. So then we get to the real question point, which is the eastern boundary. I use Fifth Avenue. As you think about land use patterns, as you start crossing Fifth, it really does turn much more heavier in terms of residential uses as opposed to commercial, whether it's office or even retail. But I've been challenged on that. Many people have said downtown's actually much bigger. For instance, the Residents of Old Wilmington is another group that's been around quite a while, a civic organization. They define downtown as 8th Street. And yet we also could have people in Carolina Place or some of the other neighborhoods in that area going out to maybe even 21st, 23rd Street. Some of them actually define themselves as being in downtown. It's part of the historic district. We have several historic districts in our community, and that historic district does expand out to there. So that is another boundary that some people have established. I've had other people who live in the South Front apartments that were done a few years back on the other side of Greenfield Lake Amphitheater. They have proclaimed to me that they are downtown. So in some respects, it's as much of a mindset as anything.
So there are a lot of terms used around this. The urban core, the central business district, and then there's a community and a neighborhood feel. So it sounds like, based on what you're talking about, those boundaries could change.
Yes. The classic definition that many people use is central business district. And in fact, the city has a zoning distinction called the Central Business District, CBD. And it's actually even a little bit smaller than the area I described to you, the Fifth Avenue. It does, as you go to the south, past Dock and Orange Street, it actually narrows down back towards the river, so it gets much smaller. But in the scheme of things, I think many people really define it as where you've got a very urban feel to it. You may have a mix of uses. It could be certainly residential, but a commercial component is quite big to that. But when you look at some of the residential, it's tightly defined. It's on very smaller lots. You don't typically have the yard with a half acre of grass to mow. It's much more compact and dense. So when you apply that kind of definition, it's very easy to see how you can expand out a little bit further than bridge to bridge and Fifth Avenue. It actually can go bigger than that.
And let's talk a little bit about Wilmington Downtown, Inc. and why you're here and what you're doing. Why do we even need an organization to oversee the development of the downtown area specifically?
Well, it's important to have an entity that is focused on, one, protecting investment that's already been made in downtown. We have, when you think about the public side, if you think about city and county government, we as taxpayers have invested hundreds of millions of dollars in downtown, whether it's roads, water lines, sewer lines, police stations, fire stations. all that infrastructure, all that public investment has already happened in the downtown. So it makes sense to us to have someone in place to help maximize the use of that. From a private investment perspective, again, the same thing. When you look at all the buildings, who owns those buildings? Well, it's individual people or corporations, but it's people that are paying taxes and people that are building the economy. There are businesses housed in most of these buildings, and there are some residentials in there as well. But when you look at the investment from the private sector, again, you want to maximize that investment. You want to have that contribute to your overall tax base. And so those are two big reasons, but also it's a point of civic pride and a point of civic identity. It is the one place in the community that is distinctly ours. Our downtown is different than downtown Charleston, from downtown Winston-Salem, from downtown Greensboro. And every community, their downtown is all a little bit different. Sure, there may be some common elements, some common pieces, maybe even some similar architecture. But at the end of the day, there's only one place that is our downtown Wilmington. And so we need to be stewards of that existing investment that's here, and also recognize that it's a very powerful economic base for our community, and we need to make sure that it is economically thriving because of the number of businesses and the number of jobs it supports.
We're talking about developing downtown Wilmington. What's working, what's missing, and how do you envision the area's downtown? Give us a call at 910-343-1138. Ed Wolverton from Wilmington Downtown, Inc. I have an email from Lori. She says, how can we direct energy into one of the most often overlooked elements in historic preservation, the older residents of the area and those older adults that live outside of downtown who would like to frequent the area? The number of older adults moving into Wilmington warrants serious consideration in this discussion. Making downtown safe, walkable, and having a grocery store would go a long way to enhance downtown. What would you say to Lori?
Well, I would agree that we need to have a downtown that's accommodating to a wide variety of citizens. And downtown does have, you have to think about lifestyles and what people's individual needs are. So it's not always us downtown against the suburbs, for instance. There are some people that want to make decisions that they want to live in a small condo that is on a golf course or at the beach. So not everyone's going to want to be within the downtown framework, but anyone that comes downtown needs to have a good infrastructure. It needs to be walkable. They need to be able to find and quickly use parking amenities, whether it's a parking garage or on-street parking. They need to have quick and convenient access to that. Safety is a given. It has to be safe. It has to be well lit. And downtowns, for better or for worse, sometimes get more attention than they deserve, perhaps, for public safety issues. But as you look across the society, unfortunately, there's all kinds of public safety incidents that happen everywhere. But downtown seems to have perhaps a higher standard in some cases. But it's also a place that is very open and diverse. And it's the one place in the community where you can see a kid carrying a skateboard that may have tattoos and piercings bump up against an elderly woman who's down with their grandkids looking at public art. And that exchange happens, and they can give each other a head bob or say hello or have some other, maybe even inconsequential exchange. But that sense of community, the sense of diversity that happens downtown and interaction is something you just don't get anywhere else. And it's part of what makes our fabric better.
Well, one of the issues that Lori raised was a grocery store, for instance.
Sure.
Why is that a difficult get for Wilmington downtown? Why is it difficult for a large grocery store to come into this area?
Well, it's difficult for a number of reasons, and not just Wilmington. A lot of our urban areas are underserved with grocery stores in particular. And the companies themselves, I've sat and talked with and recruited many of our large companies that have grocery stores in the past, and they have a very defined business model of what they look for in terms of the number of people that are within a certain 5 to 10 mile drive of downtown.
You mean residents.
Residents,
the number
correct.
Of people who actually live within a certain mileage.
Yes, exactly. What the income of that household is, how much disposable income do they have? And one of the challenges we face in downtown Wilmington is that when you start, and they typically draw these circles of a 5 mile circle or a 3 mile circle and help define what those numbers are. And when you look at our circle, when you start running that number, we, of course, run into river and marshland to the east, so we don't necessarily have the demographics that some of these businesses look for because part of our population is diffused.
So about how many more people would we need to move into the downtown area to qualify, to make sense for a large grocery store chain?
We would need another 7,000 people or so.
And there are some projects on the horizon.
There are. There are. Right now, we have about 600 housing units that are announced or under construction. Most of those are apartments. And that is part of our economic development strategy for downtown, is to grow more residents in downtown, because that then becomes an economic development opportunity for us to recruit more businesses in, because they can better serve those people that are here.
And we're going to talk more about some of these new projects on the horizon coming up. You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. Today we're talking about downtown Wilmington, the challenges and opportunities. In the studio today is Ed Wolverton, president and CEO of Wilmington Downtown, Inc. Coming up after the break, Historic Wilmington Foundation's executive director, George Edwards, will join us. How do you think Wilmington's downtown area should grow? Are the new developments in line with the history and culture of the Wilmington area? What do you think is missing from downtown, if anything? Give us a call and let us know what you think. 910-343-1138. You can send emails to coastline@whqr.org or tweet us at @CoastlineHQR. This is Coastline. Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. With me in the studio now is Ed Wolverton, president and CEO of Wilmington Downtown, Inc. Welcome once again, Ed.
Thank you. Great to be here.
And also joining us is George Edwards, executive director of Historic Wilmington Foundation. Welcome, George.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be here.
We're talking about the growth of the downtown Wilmington area and how that fits in with the Port City's historic tradition. If you have a question or a comment, we'd like to hear from you. Give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can send an email to coastline@whqr.org. You can also tweet us using @CoastlineHQR. George Edwards, earlier we were talking about the definition of the downtown area. Are there parts of what we would now call downtown that once upon a time used to be called the suburbs?
That's an interesting question. I don't think there are parts that we would call, well, let's be academic about this. If you talk about the streetcar neighborhoods of Wilmington, those were the suburbs at the turn of the last century. I'm talking about 1900.
And what are the streetcar?
Well, the streetcar neighborhoods is a term that you find frequently in America. As the electrified streetcar became prominent in American cities and came prominent across the country, it afforded people who were used to living in a dense downtown an opportunity to move out. And in Wilmington, the streetcar ran down Princess, turned at 17th Street, and then gradually made its way, ultimately, all the way out to the beaches. Now, there was also a system here called the beaches cars, but that created a whole development trend all along 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th Street, Market, beyond 17th Street, and we call those the streetcar suburbs today. I would argue, and I heard Ed's definition of downtown, and we all have our own definitions of downtown, I would argue that all of that today is downtown. That I think those residents believe that they are downtown, and that is the continuous core of historic fabric in the city, linking the residential down to the commercial. And Ed's definition about where the commercial core ends is very accurate. I would agree with him on that, that it's basically that CBD, that long...
The Central Business District.
Central Business District, that long linear box that extends all the way up to the Isabel Homes and then runs down beyond slightly beyond the Cape Fear Memorial Bridge, out to 5th, 6th, 7th. I'd go a little bit further in my definition of Central Business District, but I would agree with that. And so I think, yes, Rachel, if you want to be really technical, there were some suburbs that we've included in our definition today.
So historic preservation is the heart and soul of Historic Wilmington Foundation. And of course, at Wolverton, it's a huge part of economic development in Wilmington. It's a huge part of the landscape here. And you spoke earlier about how different we are from Savannah and Charleston, South Carolina, and even Charlotte. But are there cities that we would like to emulate? Are there cities that have done the historic preservation thing very, very well? Either George or Ed.
Well, I think we've done it very well ourselves. I think we are in that same category as Charleston and Savannah, which are typically Southern American cities that get mentioned for their success in blending historic preservation and economic development. And they've done wonderful jobs. But I would argue that we've done equally as good a job here, that we have the density of resources, that we've used them carefully, that the city embraced historic preservation from a public government perspective more than 50 years ago, and that we've done a very good job of blending public-private initiatives, getting the private sector involved. We've had our churches make a commitment, our neighborhoods, and we're doing it quite well. And I think we have defined ourselves as an economically viable, historic, oriented city, and we use that. Ed uses it, I believe, all the time. WDI incorporated that standard into their original standards when they were organized more than 38 years ago. Is that right?
That's correct, yes. Well, it is a critical economic development capacity for us, and we have to recognize we're stewards of this architecture and these buildings, and they are a great selling point, especially as we think about the tourist economy. People expect that. They want to see that historic charm that we have. And to George's point, we are just as strong as Savannah and Charleston and have done just as good a job as what they've done. We in North Carolina have really been a model across the country about best practices of how to go about economic development. And our state preservation tax credits program have been modeled by other states across the country. And that's been a really important tool for economic development for us and for providing the community identity that we spoke to a little bit earlier.
Well, speaking of those historic tax credits, what is the status right now, George Edwards?
Well, they're in jeopardy. The legislature has been back and forth. Now, the governor came out very strongly back in the spring saying we needed to continue the credits. The House came out with a very good model based on the governor's suggestions. But the Senate hasn't been as aggressive in embracing that. When they had their adjournment, but not closing the legislature, when they adjourned, took a break, whatever the correct term is.
They have not agreed yet on their adjournment resolution.
That's right. They left the credits hanging as well as they left the movie credits hanging, which are equally critical to Wilmington and I think equally critical to North Carolina. There's been a debate about movie credits, but they're important to North Carolina. But the preservation credit is absolutely critical to North Carolina. It has been utilized, and I think the statistic is approximately 88 to 90 of our 100 counties, there have been tax credit projects. That is a broad-based economic strategy for the state. And the return on that to the state of North Carolina is of $1.7 billion annually, with jobs being created, tax values going up. So I think it's a critical strategy that we can use to our advantage, and I hope that the legislature sees the wisdom of including that.
We're talking about, excuse me one moment, developing downtown Wilmington. What's working? What's missing? How do you envision the area's downtown? Give us a call at 910-343-1138 or send an email to coastline@hqr.org. You can also tweet us using coastlinehqr at Wolverton.
Well, just picking up on what George was saying in terms of our historic preservation tax credits, we have to remember a couple things. First, that there is also a national tax credit that's available on a national level. So we do have that as an opportunity still to help aid development. But the state incentive on top of that layered together really made it a very powerful tool. But the whole point from a public policy perspective is that we were dealing with a situation where a lot of older historic buildings were abandoned. They were disinvested. People were not using them. They didn't want to go there, especially back in the 70s, the whole notion of this urban blight. We want to get away from our cities. We got to move everything out to the suburbs. We want to get rid of our farmlands and turn them into shopping malls or to strip shopping centers. And so the whole point of these preservation tax credits was to try to level the economic playing field and to serve as an inducement for that investment to come back into your urban areas to save that historic architecture that's so important to the identity and the fabric of our community. But also, it's more expensive to renovate a historic home than it is to slap a new home together out in the middle of what had been a turf farm. So there's an economic disincentive, and then people will say, well, wait a minute, that's not true because we're not getting any subsidies out in our new greenfield development. That's the term they often use. Well, the argument is that, well, someone built the road that goes to that greenfield development, and that's probably us as the taxpayer. That is, in fact, a subsidy that we are providing to nurture and grow that development. And by the way, if we're running water lines, sewer lines, electrical lines, that is too. And if we're having to build a new police station, new fire station, that is another subsidy that happens for these exurban types of development. So it makes sense to have the sound policy that spurs this investment back into downtown.
Do we know how many other states have historic preservation tax credits?
Right now in the nation, it's over 40 states have a strong tax credit program.
Over 40. If we lost this one, then George Edwards with Historic Wilmington Foundation, we would be in the minority.
We would clearly be in the minority. We might be the first state in the country to drop a viable tax credit program. Now, I do want to go back. I mean, I've been asked by the media over the last few months as this debate has raged around the state, is this the end of preservation? And Ed made a good point a moment ago in saying we have a federal tax credit. Absolutely, we have a federal tax credit, which far, far predates the state tax credits. So no, we're not going out of business. And we were creative before there were state tax credits. We will be creative after there are state tax credits. The federal credit, hopefully, thankfully, seems to be safe, and it's always been a great incentive, and there are a few other incentives. But Ed's very correct in saying that the layering of that credit suddenly turned marginal properties that probably today would be gone into viable properties. And that's what's important. And yes, absolutely, the suburbs have been incentivized from the very beginning. Everything from schools to roads to everything else that allows a landfall to be developed, that allows a Mayfair to be developed, was put in at taxpayer expense, and that's a subsidy. If you recycle old buildings, you're recycling infrastructure that has long ago been paid for and long ago been amortized, and it makes great sense to make that area far more productive, which is what downtown revitalization and neighborhood revitalization does.
So if the tax credits do go away, there's the federal tax credit. What are some of the other options for keeping historic preservation alive in downtown Wilmington?
Well, I think the efforts that we will make in terms of education to developers and to homeowners would certainly keep tax preservation alive, pushing for strong historic districts, whether they are national register districts, then layered with a local district or simply a national register district. By the way, Wilmington is set to get its eighth national register district by the end of the year.
By the end of this year. Okay.
Brookwood.
And what is a national register district?
Well, a National Register District is a section of land, a section of homes, buildings that have been surveyed and determined to have architectural and historic significance. And then that is thoroughly documented and presented to a public hearing locally to get approval, then sent off to the State Historic Preservation Office for review and approval, and ultimately sent to the federal government, the National Park Service, where an actual person called the keeper of the register ultimately places that section of buildings, that collection of buildings on the federal register, recognizing their significance culturally, historically, and architecturally.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about developing downtown Wilmington, what's working, what's missing, and how do you envision the areas downtown? Tell us what you think, 910-343-1138. You can send an email to coastline@whqr.org. You can also tweet us using CoastlineHQR. Ed Wolverton, George Edwards, we're also looking down the barrel of losing film incentives. What will that mean specifically for the downtown Wilmington area?
That'll be a very tough blow for us to shoulder.
Why?
Film is a big part of our everyday lives, and they support our businesses that are down here, whether it's a restaurant, whether it's a retail clothing shop, whether it's a catering company, whether it's even our nightlife. All of those things benefit from the film industry being part of our daily lives. A lot of the film crews choose to live within the downtown area. They like the urban feel, the funkiness that they get downtown. It's a great vibe. We have a broad spectrum of jobs, and we are actually oftentimes a film set for productions as they're occurring. I had a conversation with a local real estate broker recently who had a building that was being used by a show that was in production in the 1990s. And I had talked to him about, well, you know, how come we can't lease this space? It's a ground floor location. He said, oh, well, that was the set for this show. And they never needed to do anything. They were getting their income and it was being used. It wasn't really in a public way, but it was in a way that was still being and creating economic benefits for the property owners. And so now with that production gone, not necessarily because of these credits, right now, as they left a couple years ago. But the point is that it provided an income stream for properties that was very helpful for the overall downtown economy. And we're certainly an epicenter of that. But they film everywhere in the region. I mean, Southport has productions, and they just – the film industry folks like the setting that downtown provides. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about developing downtown Wilmington. What's working? What's missing? How do you envision the area's downtown? 343-1138 is the number to call if you'd like to make a comment or send an email to coastline@whqr. And we have a call. John, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air. Hello? And he seems to not be there. All right. Sorry about that. Maybe you can give us a call back. John, we actually have an email from Susan. She continues the thread. We were talking earlier about aging in place, about seniors coming to the downtown area, making it walkable, having amenities that seniors can easily access. And Susan says she heads up Aging in Place Downtown, a nonprofit whose goal is to enable seniors to remain in their homes throughout their lives, regardless of health, wealth, or age. Aging in Place is a work in progress and is focused on the section of Wilmington that is the most diverse in the city. Seniors represent around 20% of the 31,000 residents of the area. They tend to be anchors of their neighborhoods and contribute to the economics and vibrancy of downtown in very significant ways. A summit on Aging in Place held last year indicated the highest priority was useful transportation for those who do not or can no longer drive, since there are no supermarkets, drugstores, or other necessities downtown. Transportation is the key. Ed Wolverton, is mass transit or the limitations that we have right now in mass transit a factor in the development of downtown?
It's an important factor, but it's not the, excuse the pun, driving factor. When you talk about walkability, downtown is by far the most walkable place in our community. Have you ever seen anyone try to cross College Road, walking from one shopping center to the next? I mean, that you talk about unwalkable. That is the pure definition of it. But can we do more? Yes, absolutely. We do have a special free shuttle system that serves the downtown area. It's a limited route, but it is in partnership with WAVE. The bus system itself does pulse into downtown on a routine basis. I think all the routes definitely come through the downtown at one point. So there is that kind of connectivity that downtown has that other places don't. Could it be better? Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be really interesting to see with the advent of the Uber cars, for instance, whether that starts making impact into the way people get around. Bike trails is also very important to us. We're trying to improve the bike access as another avenue to getting people around. So all of those things come into play.
And we have Ronald. Welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good, thanks.
I own two historic homes in downtown Wilmington, and I'm wondering whether there's going to be a program or an initiative to allow homeowners to make energy-efficient changes to their properties, i.e. putting in solar installations or replacing windows, which in some instances are 150 years old.
That's an excellent question. Ed Wolverton, or George Edwards, you were actually leaning forward.
Well, the installation of solar systems into historic houses, and if you're talking about in compliance with the local design review or for tax credits, is already allowed. As long as it's a low-profile solar, ideally off of the main thoroughfare or the main front of the building. So there's already a provision for that, and it's already happening. For efficiency with the windows, I think that there's always been an assumption that windows were the key culprit for energy efficiency in the house, and there's no study to validate that. A historic old window, a wood window, well-maintained, is very efficient, and its efficiency can be greatly enhanced with the insulation of a storm window. And then you combine that storm window with solar, with high-efficiency heating and air conditioning systems. And we say insulation, but that's you insulate everything. You insulate below and above. You look at your crawl spaces, all of your infrastructure in the ductwork, and you insulate that, and you can achieve, I believe, and this has been demonstrated time and again, high efficiency. There are several contractors in town who specialize in analysis of old houses and then strategizing with the owner to make them even more efficient. So, yes, we can address that, and you can get a credit for it, which is wonderful.
Well, all right. Very fine. Thank you for having me on the air.
Thanks for your call, Ronald. You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. We have some callers on the line, and John has called us back, I see. So we'll look forward to taking his call after the break. George Edwards, Executive Director of Historic Wilmington Foundation, thanks so much for joining us. Coming up in just a moment, we'll look at the economic challenges and opportunities available to private investors and entrepreneurs. Harper Peterson, local business owner and former mayor of Wilmington, will join us for that. How do you think Wilmington needs to develop? What is it about the downtown area that keeps you coming back? What's missing? What does your ideal downtown Wilmington area look like? Call us at 343-1138, send emails to coastline@whqr.org, or tweet us at @CoastlineHQR. This is Coastline. Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. With me in the studio are once again Ed Wolverton of Wilmington Downtown, Inc. Ed, welcome back.
Thank you.
Also joining us now, a man who has been in business in the area for about 30 years and once served as the city's mayor. Harper Peterson currently owns the restaurant Delfina Dos on Water Street, has shares in several other properties, including the Blue Post and Old Wilmington City Market, and he also owns businesses in other parts of Wilmington and Bald Head Island. Harper Peterson, welcome to Coastline.
Hello.
If you have a question or comment, we'd like to hear from you. Give us a call, 910-343-1138. You can email us at coastline@whqr.org. And John has been holding for quite a while. John, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Nice to have you on. Nice to be on the show.
What's your question?
Well, I think more of a comment than a question, but I'd like to see if this is actually already in the plans. Multi-use facilities where both living and business and restaurants come together. I'd love to see that as part of the downtown plan. And I don't know if that's already in the works for the plans that have already been developed. But then combining it perhaps with rejuvenation of the seafood industry and some really great shops or instead even restaurants that emphasize fresh seafood.
What do you mean by rejuvenation of the seafood industry? Are you in the seafood industry?
No, I'm not at all. I think that we have some seafood that is really wonderful in this area, and I would love to see the marina connected with the downtown be literally a place where the fresh seafood comes in, and the people are, you know, seeing that interaction between our coastal community and the downtown Wilmington area very much in a live sense.
Ed Wolverton, is this something that you see on the horizon? Is this an element of the discussion that you've had?
Mixed use, no doubt about it. There is all kinds of examples all throughout downtown where mixed uses are taking place in a variety of buildings for housing, residential, office, entertainment, all of those things combined all in one building. That's a tried and true example here, and we have it all over the area. From the seafood perspective, we do have that seafaring roots here. As I think about the modern industry, though, it certainly has changed. I look to the Wilmington Business Development recently announced the opening of Acme Seafood Company. They're building a huge facility. But it's a huge distribution facility, so they actually bring the fresh seafood there and package it and ship it and or use it as either inbound or outbound. But it's a significant investment for the community, but yet it's a distribution-oriented thing, so it's not something that people touch and feel.
Right.
But as we see the expansion of our Riverwalk, people want to be along the river. Harper's Restaurant, of course, is right along Water Street right now and has that viewpoint and a great patio that's full many times as people have that and enjoy that view. The city is expanding the Riverwalk. I've talked to some folks that have some long-term ideas about could we create a more maritime type of a village over on Eagle Island, and it's a fabulous idea and concept. Getting the money to make it happen, of course, is the challenge, but the idea is wonderful.
Connecting Eagles Island to the downtown Wilmington area. John, thanks so much for your call. Harper Peterson, you've been here for a little while. What are some of the most striking differences between downtown Wilmington 30 years ago, and I guess we would be talking about the 1980s versus downtown Wilmington today?
Well, quite a few things, and I have to compliment Ed and Wilmington Town Annex, formerly DARE. We butted heads quite a bit over the years, but we wouldn't be where we are if it wasn't for that organization, as long as, along with the Historic Wilmington Foundation. I think overall we're doing a great job, but there's room for improvement. All the pieces are here. It's like putting a puzzle together on the table. We've got to get them together. And there are a few things, major pieces I see missing. I'll be quick, Rachel, because I know time is short. But I think one key element that we're missing, and we've just been, I don't know why we've missed it. A few council members have been pushing forward Lower Pageant 1 for years, and that's a central park in the middle of our downtown. The parking deck needs to go away, and we don't need to put up buildings and high-rises and get into commercial development with the private sector. We need one big central park that will help everybody's be benefit everyone.
And just to be clear, the parking deck you're talking about is located
Water Street Parking near the Hilton, right on the river. Every great town has a central park starting, you know, you can start with New York, San Francisco, right down the line. And that brings everybody together. The Riverwalk is an important element. People often compliment me or, you know, thank me for being responsible for the Riverwalk. And I have to tell them I was one of many councils and mayors that provided that, and it began back in the 80s. And that's a great example of public space enhancing the private sector. So I'd like to see that happen. You talk about across the river, we need utilities, water, sewer across the river. That whole 421 corridor needs to be developed by the county, and that will enhance downtown's lot. And the last element, I think, is the Skyway. We need to push for that. And I haven't seen it in the press, in the media lately. That's a key element. When you look at the big picture regionally, 20 years down the road, we've got to have that. I don't care how much it costs, it's got to happen.
You've raised a couple of really critical pieces to the puzzle, Harper. We'll get to those in a second in a little more depth. You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about developing downtown Wilmington, what's working, what's missing, and how you envision the downtown area. Give us a call, 910-343-1138, or send an email to coastline@whqr.org. Molly, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hello. I'm calling because I adore downtown Wilmington, but everything can get better. And one of the things for the people who live here, I live around 6th and Grace, is definitely food. And my concern is not about a large supermarket, but as they have in Europe, small little specialty places, the bakery, the place with the delis and the cheeses, the place with the meats, the place with the fruits and the vegetables, and for them to be, they can be in one of these multi-purpose buildings, or they can just be in different shops along the street, and you go and you buy in the different shops. And for the people who live downtown, who actually walk around, that probably wouldn't be much of a problem, because you're not going in a car necessarily to go do these things.
Ed Wolverton?
Yeah, that's a great observation, and it is something that we've seen a lot of cities that have these historic public markets, whether you think of Pike Place in Seattle, Reading Station in Philadelphia. I mean, those are big cities, but they are populated by these smaller public markets that incorporate space for these artisan meat purveyors or bakers or such people like that. And you know, I think we don't have that here. We're seeing the genesis of growth of that with the starting of the farmers market that happened, what, about 5 years ago, maybe 4 years? Yeah. So, okay. So that's at least reintroducing that element to the area. I would also challenge people to take a look at what our vendors currently offer. You may be surprised to see some of our restaurants having a side bakery like Nine Restaurant and Lounge. They actually have a bakery piece of this. Coastal Cupcakes is another one where they actually do artisan breads and things of that nature. So there are many restaurants that do this type of thing, but it may be on a smaller scale. So those types of opportunities are out there. We are still missing, you know, fruit and some of those staples that are important, vegetables, but there are some opportunities out there. So check your local vendors, the people that are in downtown.
Molly, thanks for your call. Bill Mulligan from downtown Wilmington says, Wilmington has the opportunity. It seems like a lot of people want us to emulate some European cities. Has the opportunity to have a European cafe scene, block off a couple of streets, especially on the weekend. I'm thinking of Santa Monica, California. They do a similar sort of thing and offer restaurants more space to be in the street like they do in Europe. And a lot of the Caribbean islands, they have police that are well seen on stands watching from an elevated perspective. And security-wise, if you have strategically placed police on busy street corners, they're seen by pedestrians and it keeps crime down.
We have some great restaurants downtown. We
have a says one of the restaurateurs, Peterson.
We have a plethora of outdoor cafes. I know we were the first, I think, or second Cafe Phoenix in Water Street.
And Water Street, for folks that don't know, right. was a restaurant that was on Water Street for
right.
many years.
Right. I think the Farmers Market is a great example. That could be expanded. It should be expanded. It could meet the needs of the ladies' telephone call request for that type of service product. I think, in my mind, when I think about downtown and the atmosphere, the identity, and I ask people all the time, because we live downtown as well as work downtown, what is it about downtown that you like or you don't like? And the overwhelming comment I hear in people's own words is that it's sketchy, it's edgy, whether it's the crime, whether that's real or perceived, parking real or perceived. And these are local people. We're going to bring the tourists in. That's our huge, our biggest sales tax revenue center is downtown. And that's important. But it's this perception by people that it's not safe.
Well, those are two important issues that you've raised. As Ed said earlier in the show, we do see a higher incidence here. But that is usually true in just about any urban area of
well, we need to clean that up. I mean, compare.
And how do we do that?
Well, take a look at Charleston, and what's people's perception of Charleston? 9 out of 10 people say it's a great place to go day or night. Compare that to Wilmington.
And why is that?
Well, again, I'm not going to give you my opinion. I'm in the business of day and night, so and successful to some degree. But I get concerned about the evening hours, the late hours. What I think the city council and people interested should do, we did this on the north side 10 years ago when I was in public office. It was a good model. We got everybody on a bus, and we rode around the north side for 4 hours. And we looked, got out of the truck, got out of the, excuse me, the bus, and talked to people, looked firsthand, and came back and had now a firsthand impression and idea of what it was about. People don't know what it's like downtown. Ed, have you been downtown after 10 o'clock at night?
Oh, yes.
Okay. it's pretty wild. And it's vital. It's, you know, it's vibrant. It's, you know.
It is vibrant. But there are also pockets. You can walk down one block in downtown Wilmington area and see, you know, swarms of people and then walk to the next block and there's no one. And you're isolated. And if you happen to encounter someone with not so great intentions,
well, again,
you're a captive audience.
We're in a good place, but there needs to be improvement there. We need to improve the perception local people have about downtown. And presently, I don't think it's that good, to be honest with you. And I think there lies the key to the success of downtown. That will attract better businesses, whether it's restaurant or retail or whatever. But we've got to do that.
You also mentioned parking, which is an issue. And this is something that we hear about all the time when it comes to downtown. I heard George Edwards say at one point that we pay for parking at Mayfair, for instance. Mayfair is one of the areas of competition for downtown. Ed Wolverton, what do you say to people who say it's just hard to park or I have to pay for parking here? And if I go somewhere in the suburbs, like a shopping mall, Independence or Mayfair, I can just pull into a spot. It's free. It's easy. What do you say to that?
Downtown, any urban area is just not going to have the same type of convenience that you're going to get out in the suburbs. Conversely, you're going to get a much better experience within the downtown context than you will at a suburban shopping mall. You're going to see more things. You're going to do more things. You're going to have the opportunity to park your car once and visit shops, visit restaurants, visit banks, do all of your business in a one-stop type of a setting and environment. I think there is a sense that sometimes people, if they haven't used a parking garage, they may not be comfortable with, how do I even get through it? How do I pull a ticket? Where do I pay? So there's an education piece that Harper, I think, was alluding to, whether it's a perception, we have to recognize it's out there and we've got to deal with addressing it. But there's parking available. We have over 6,000 publicly owned parking spaces in downtown. Yeah. And so people that don't come downtown on a daily basis may not understand how the system works, but it's also a system that's fairly easy to learn,
yep.
And you just have to take your time and learn it.
I agree. 10 years ago, that was a big issue, but I think we've solved it. We have enough parking, and the communication is there now, so that's not an issue. I don't think that's a roadblock or an obstacle any longer.
And Harper, you raised the issue earlier of a green space, and this is something. It's something Mayor Bill Sappho has talked about also as being an important part of the legacy that he wants to leave before he's finished. Where are we now with that? Are there plans?
Well, it's nice to have, 6 acres up on the north side? But that doesn't touch downtown. People will come and go and never step foot downtown. It's like the baseball park they suggested 2 years ago. It wasn't going to enhance downtown. And for a lot of reasons, it was a bad idea, but we won't go into that. But I think we need a central park in the middle of the mix, and that will have huge benefits. More than any investment, private investment, could bring to this city.
Is there a place where that could be?
The parking deck needs to come down and turn green, the entire thing.
Ed Wolverton, is anything like that on the agenda?
Well, the city is going through a process right now. They did some examination of that Water Street parking deck. It was done in the 60s. It's old, decrepit. It needs to go. There was a lot of community debate about what the reuse needs to be. At the same token, though, the city did step forward and buy almost a 7-acre tract of land on the north side of downtown towards PPD. And the plan is to develop a very nice public space park there. They don't have the money to really develop it right now, so it's going to be something that I have to plan through the years. And I think we also have to recognize that right now, as you go down there, there's not much there. Harper's exactly right. There's not a whole lot of connectivity to the core of downtown. And so that's something that's got to be filled in to help make that park work better in the future.
Okay, just a few seconds left. Harper, as a business owner downtown, what are the biggest challenges that you face? Is having a business downtown a seasonal venture?
No, it's year-round, actually. And the city has become very helpful, I think, in the review process and regulation process. So I think it's wide open. It's there. People are coming year-round. We see that in our tourism and our dollars spent. So, again, putting those pieces together and asking the critical questions and improving upon them.
That's this edition of Coastline. I'd like to thank our guests, Ed Wolverton of Wilmington Downtown, Inc., George Edwards of the Historic Wilmington Foundation, and local business owner Harper Peterson. Thanks to all of our listeners and those who called and emailed to join the conversation. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Join us next week when we take a closer look at chronic homelessness in the Cape Fear region. We're 6 years into the 10-year plan to end it. How are we doing? That's next week on Wednesday, August 20th at 2 p.m. here on WHQR 91.3 FM. Coastline's executive producer is Cleve Callison. Our producer is Ken Campbell. Associate producer is Lindsay McGrath. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of our listeners and guests and not necessarily of WHQR Public Radio or our licensee. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.